recite Slichos, although it doesn't appear in the Gemara itself as a very, very old minog. Nevertheless, we find that there are different times about the recitation of Slichos, different customs as to when the Slichos begin and when they're recited, and the different times of the Slichos seem to indicate that there are different takes, different ideas, different things we're trying to accomplish with the recitation of Slichos. And the Rambam quotes the meaning of saying Slichos, but it doesn't quote it in terms of Chodesh Elul. He quotes it in terms of Maaseh Esrei Tshuva. The Rambam Nuchas Tshuva quotes Navucho Yisrael Lachum Bashmaris Biyom Elul, that the meaning of Yisrael in all places is to get up early in the morning during these days of Maaseh Esrei Tshuva. That's the context the Rambam is talking about. To be Mavim Petach Anunim, to say special tefillos, special tchinos before the day begins. But the context that the Rambam quotes that in is in the discussion of how a person is supposed to view themselves during the assessment. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the Gimel Sfarim Mistachim Rosh Hashanah, there are three books that are opened in Shemayim Rosh Hashanah for the Tzadikim, for the Rishayim, for the Beinanim. So the Tzadikim are Nechtavim and Nechtamim, the Alpuchem Toiv, they're inscribed and sealed in the Book of Life. And for them, Rosh Hashanah is open. There's no need for assessment. For the Rishayim, so then Nechtamim, the Alpuchem Isa, assessment is not going to help. So what do we make such a to-do about the Sesame Tshuva? That's for the Beninim, for everybody in the middle. So Beninim means anyone's a Mechtazaka, Mechtazachayev. So the Rambam is quick to point out in Nuchas Tshuva that Mechtazaka, Mechtazachayev is not just the calculation of, let's say, you know, I put on Tshuva this morning, but I killed somebody. You know, I heard Kiddush yesterday, but I was, you know, did a bit of sorry. That's not exactly the way it works. It means you have to, only Kiddush Baruch Hu knows which mitzvahs are worth connected what, etc. It's a calculation that only the Rebbe Shalom is aware of exactly how it plays out. So the Rambam writes that we assume we're supposed to view ourselves as being Beninim. We don't really know. We hope that we're not Rishayim. We're not sure that we're Tzadikim. You have to really assume that somebody else is Tzadik. That's when we greet somebody in Rosh Hashanah. We wish them L'alt L'chaim Tov M'Shalom. We say to them L'chaim Tov M'Shalom Tov Tikasim Sechaseim. Because you have to assume that the other fellow was a Tzadik. He's going to have a Chasim L'alt L'chaim Tov. For ourselves, we're scared. We're not so sure. We would be afraid to say Rosh Hashanah Chasmein of Sefer Chaim. We're not so convinced that we're Tzadik Gemur. So on Rosh Hashanah, we get mode of we're not really sure what clearly we owe them, and we're waiting for Aseres Mitzvah. So that's what the Rambam writes, that since you have to view yourself during the Aseres Mitzvah as being clearly owned or you're abandoning, so that it would make sense that you should try to get as many mitzvahs as you can to tip the balance. So the Rambam writes, that's the reason why we're marvin mitzvahs during this time of the year. During Aseres Mitzvah, we give more tzedakah, and we try to daven more, we try to learn more, we try to have certain hidurim, certain chumras, mitzvahs, chassidus, things that we do during the Sesame Tshuva to tilt the balance in our favor. So in that context, the Rambam quotes the meaning of saying Slichos. The Rambam writes, and therefore, we're marvin b'tchinus v'tacharunim during these days. So you get the impression from the Rambam that the reason why we're davening more is because it's the same as we're giving more tzedakah. It's the same that we're learning more. It's the same we're doing more mitzvahs. The same we're being more careful in things. So we want to be more marvin b'tchinus tefillah. We want to be marvin b'tefillah as an added tzchus. So that's a very, very different thing. According to the Rambam, that idea wouldn't really make sense in Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul, it's a nice time to do mitzvah Chodesh Elul also, but we don't find that, like, you know, that pressing desire. We don't observe a Pas Yisrael drawing, Elul. We don't run after every single last mitzvah in Elul. Maybe we should, but that way. That mindset of Tulim V'Omdim only begins from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So the Rambam will put the Amiras as Slichos into that context. Doesn't mention the saying of Slichos during the month of Elul. But the Minhag Yisrael that we have is not like the Rambam. In addition to the Rambam, in addition to the saying of Slichos during Aseres Mitzvah, which is, has that added component of putting us over the edge in terms of Zechuyos, we also recite the Slichos before Rosh Hashanah, and maybe that's for a different reason. Maybe the mindset, the Ashkofa behind the saying of Slichos before Shana is a different reason than Gamri. So that's what the Rishonim quote, the Minhag that we have, at least in the Ashkenazi communities, that we say Slichos a minimum of 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes it comes out a little bit more than that. This year it's a couple of days more than 4 days, because of, we want to keep uniformity. We want to start Slichos on Motzei Shabbos. Start Slichos in the middle of the week, so people get all tzeflugin. So people don't even get tzeflugin Slichos time. So we want to make it easy for everybody. It should be in Motzei Shabbos. It's Motzei Shabbos. I guess the Rishonim had in mind, it's a Saturday night experience. It's like, you know, if they would have known what Slichos is, it becomes a Saturday night, entertainment. So if the real goal of saying Slichos is 4 days, well, it's not really a dinner Motzei Shabbos. We say at a minimum of four days, and we'll start off Motzei Shabbos. Where did that magic number 4 days come from? That's a totally different word. That's not the mitzvah of the mitzvahs. That's a different word. That's what the Rishonim explained. That the din is when you bring a korban tamid, so the korban tamid requires bikur dal yomim. You have to check out that it doesn't have a mum. well lived after Kippur Pesach, to come and tell me the whole story, that you have to check for 4 days to make sure it's clean of mumim. So too, when we come to the Ribbon Shel Rosh Hashanah, we're like makir ourselves in the Mizbech. Why is that? Because it says in the Chumash, Vasisa Moila. It's the only place, it doesn't say we craft the Moila, it says Vasisa Moila. So the first one, we should explain that a person has to view themselves, like the Mamash, like to make themselves an Oila, Mamash Vasisa Moila, that they're literally becoming Kar Vagabi HaMizbech and Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? Rosh Hashanah is the day that Vasisa Moila, why isn't any more Vasisa Moila than the other day? Maybe that's a throwback to Kedah, because Rosh Hashanah, so much of the Rosh Hashanah davening, so much is surrounding a Kedah Yitzchak. One of the reasons that Rav Tzadik Gaon gives for Tkiya Shofar is the Rachim and the Omer, the Zeicha Bris, because I'll listen to the Bracha of a Kedah Zaron, you know, etc., etc. The Vachter Zeicha Bris. So the Akedah was Vasisa Moila. It means Yitzchak was supposed to be an Oila. When Chazal say that commenting on the pasuk was Zecharti is Brisi Yitzchak, Rebbe Tzchad is Brisi Yaakov, Yaakov is Brisi Yitzchak. So it says if there's no Zikara by Yitzchak, because the Kodesh Baruch doesn't have to remember Yitzchak, because he sees the Efer Al Gabi and Mizbech. He sees Yitzchak wasn't brought as a carbon in the end. So the answer is that by Alel Oila Tachas Beno, the Oila that was brought was Mamish B'mokom Yitzchak. Rashi wrote some Chazal. When Avram did the Avoda on the Isle, so he says, Ki ilu zerachti as Adam, Ki ilu krafti as Oil, etc. Everything with Mamash Keneged Yitzchak. That's what the Ramban says in the beginning of Sefer Yikud. That's what a korban is. Every time a person brings a korban, they're supposed to view themselves Mamash like their korban Gabi Mizbech. That's what's supposed to happen. So the Rebbeinu the Chasta Gadol, so prohibited human sacrifice. And that's something that's a Teyeva, it's a terrible thing. And the Muslim, the pagans picked up that Mishigas, and the Rebbeinu never wanted it to actually happen. The Rebbeinu wanted it to be a potential. Because in theory, we're supposed to be Machar ourselves, like Gabriel Mizbech, and I'm supposed to take an animal, play a little Olat Achaz Beno. So that idea of that secret of Karbonos, that it's supposed to be ourselves, we're supposed to be Gabi Mizbech. But now the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us the opportunity to take those koiches and to put it into the animal, into the behemoth. So that was Nischadish in Rosh Hashanah. That was Nischadish at the time of the Akedah. So that's, and Rosh Hashanah is the most appropriate time to commemorate Vasisa Moila. So the Korban of Rosh Hashanah is Meyuchad for that idea of Vasisa Moila. So that's what the Mefarshim explained, that if you're bringing yourself as a Korban, you have to check your movement. So what movement do you have to check? So you don't have to check, it's not physical blemishes. You have to check your spiritual blemishes. So you need 4 days before you come to Rosh Hashanah to check yourself. How do you check yourself? I mean, chayzeh b'tshuva, by saying vidui. So according to that take, the saying of slichas before Hashanah is a different bar lagamri. It's not like the Rambam slichas of aseres b'tshuva, that to be mar b'zechuyos. That's not the pshat. The pshat of the saying of slichas is as a hachona for the avodah seyam of Rosh Hashanah. It's a special link to the fact that there's a special dimension of Asisa Moila that requires a recitation of Slichos and a Chazar B'tshuva and a Vidoy in order to get ourselves into the proper spirit for Rosh Hashanah. That's a different take on Slichos the Gavri. But the Sfaradim will say Slichos for the whole month of Elul, that's a totally different part. That's not a Asisa Moila, that's not a Hakrov, that has nothing to do with Karbonos, that's nothing to do with Bikur Mumin. That is a different take, Lagami. That's part of a different picture. That's part of the picture that Moshe wrote, that we have a tradition that you may Elul, you may Rachamim. Those are the days when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai for the third time. And those are the days when Moshe Rabbeinu's father succeeded in getting the Vayom Hashem Tzlachti Yibarecha. So since you may Elul, you may Rachamim, so there are many things that we do to be Ba'ur Rachamim Shemayim during Chodesh Elul. So we blow Shofar to be Ba'ur Rachamim, we say the Dogmen, we do a couple of different things special during Elul. The Svayim and say Slichos during Elul, that's part of a different text. And the saying of Slichos has many, many, many different dimensions to it. So Slichos of Aseres Tshuva is a Ribuy of Zechuyos, in order to tip the balance in our favor in terms of more mitzvahs. Slichos for Ashkenazim, 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, is a hachona for the Avodas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah. And Slichos for the Svayim is a different take with Gamrei. It's part of the general picture, the general statement that Elul is a time of Yimei Ratzon. But whenever you slice it, there is a Minhag Yisrael, and it's not mentioned in the Gemara itself, but it is a Minhag Yisrael, an angel of Minhag, the recitation of Slichas at different times during the course surrounding the time of Rosh Hashanah. The recitation of Slichas is described as being done by Shmer Saboike. The Ram talks about the end of the night. The recitation of Slichas actually Yorah Yoim until it gets light. So the Rishonim quote, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, that Slichas is supposed to be recited at the time of Shmer Saboike. What exactly is the Shmer Saboike? So, Afi Kabbalah, the night is divided up into two parts. That the first half of the night is considered to be the Midas Adin, and the second half of the night is considered to be the Midas Harachamim. So, therefore, the Vos came right. that the correct time to recite the slichos is during the time of midas harachamim. You're supposed to say the slichos during the midas at din time. You say during the midas harachamim time. That's the reason why we don't say tachanun at the ma'ariv. The Rambam quotes something saying tachanun at ma'ariv. Our meaning is that we don't say tachanun at ma'ariv. That's why a lot of people daven in such svar. So they daven in chesol late. So they daven in the time to get the tachanun. It's well after shkia. Usually by the time you get to Asher, it's way after Shkia, but whatever it is. So that's why many of them don't say Tachanun or Mincha, because some poskim didn't like the saying of Tachanun. Tachanun is Midas Rachamim, it's already night, it's already Midas Adin. So we don't want to mix up the two things together.
That's a low plug, because usually most of the subscribing,
Yeah. So that became a little plug, and even the Yidam at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Gezerah Shem, you make up the Siddachon after Shkia. So, whatever. So the Maisa, we don't say Slichos during the first half of the night. Question is, how exactly does that cheshbon out exactly? What is considered to be the night? What's considered to be the day for all these things? So there's a machlekes abelskim. There's a general machlekes abelskim. How you calculate what's considered to be the end of the day? What's considered to be the beginning of the day? So even though apidin, the Gemara tells us that the halachic day really begins with alos hashachar. That's what the Mishnah says in Tehavet was as Megillah. That min haTorah, the halachic day begins with alos hashachar. And a person could technically blow shofar after alos, and could shake a move after alos, and he could say hal after alos. Nevertheless, with the Rabbanah, the Mishnah says that you're not supposed to do all the mitzvahs ayom until neitzachama. The Rashi explains, because I'm afraid that after alos, it's something that's hard to tell. It's not so easy to discern whether it's alos or not. Therefore, Chazal were concerned that if you let the person do mitzvahs right after alos, they may make a mistake and end up doing them a little bit earlier. So therefore, mid the Rabbanah, they declare that all mitzvahs ayom should be pushed off the chadchila until neitz. But the evid, if you did it before or neitz, but the evid, you'll be able to. We spoke a lot about this in Uchas Nidashirim, about the Rishonim, right, concerning bedikas, when a woman does a bedikah for shivinikiyim. So the chadchila, the bedikas is supposed to be done after neitz. This is a big issue in the wintertime. Woman goes out to work. It's 6:30 in the morning. It's not nates for another hour or so. So women should just try to remember that the bedikas of the day, lechel chilatli, should be done by yom ma'amish. So we know that api din min haTorah, the halachic day begins at alos hashachar. Nevertheless, when it comes to uchas tefillah, zmani hayom, and all that kind of stuff, so there's a big machlokes in the poskim about how to calculate the shows zmanias of the day. Machlokes the Gemara in the book of Avram. Chazal speaking in terms of Alos HaShachar, Chazal speaking in terms of Neitzachama. So you have that same issue that now comes up in terms of when Chazal speak about the Shmaras HaBoikis, and they speak about the day versus the night, vis-a-vis these kinds of things. So are these things determined by Alos HaShachar? Are these things determined by Neitzachama? So this practice that the Rishonim write, that Slich is supposed to be said by Laila, so does Laila mean before Alos HaShachar, before the absolute halachic Laila comes to an end? What does Laila for these purposes mean until we start to count off the hours the Shos Manias until Neitzachamim? So a big nafkamina of an hour and a half of sleep is a big nafkamina as to when is the optimal time to recite the Slichah. So many of us are nekel, myself included, that we follow the latest man for this. That means we try very, very hard to say Slichos in the quote-unquote Laila, but we're not as careful that Laila should be before Alos HaShachar of the Machmen. And that also, so they say Slichos the night before, very, very early in the morning. For those people who say Slichos at 6 o'clock or so in the morning, so they're relying on the fact that even though it's well after Alos HaShachar this time of year, but it's usually before an eight, so that's still considered to be even the optimal, even the chetchila time of saying Slichos. Those who are saying slichas later in the day, they're saying they're davening at 9 o'clock, but they're saying slichas at 8:30 in the morning. So they're not really getting b'shmaras boker. They're not getting b'shmaras laila. They're not really saying slichas at the optimal time. They didn't say now that says slichas. It feels is always a good thing, but that special mila of the minig of the rishonim saying slichas davka at the time of mitzvah rachamim really is in a certain sense a lost if a person is not doing it before the optimal time. So again, according to the machmirim, the optimal time is before Alos HaShachar. According to the Mekilim, suffix slichas dekula, it's only a minute, so if we may go to take the later a little bit of this mag, you an hour or so more sleep, you can start slichas a little bit later and still, according to many, get the lechatchila aspect of reciting slichas.
Sorry, do you have the option between doing the chatzos every night versus doing it after Alos before Nates?
This depends how machmir. If you really honestly believe that Nates is the real zman for slichas, then it's even lechatchila.
I thought there was an idea of getting up for slichas from sleep.
Akuma, depends where you went to sleep. Some people go to sleep before Chatzos. Some people never go to sleep. Some people go to sleep after Netzachama. A lot of people have different sleeping schedules.
Right,
so the Rambam describes, Lakuma Moshe, because the Rambam said he went to sleep when it got dark. So I don't know if there's a special thing to get up and you're up. And it's also good. The Rambam couldn't conceive of a person being up to Chatzos. It's unheard.
So the holiday of doing
Chatzos
might be.
It's for sure b'chachiva. For sure, it's b'chachiva. Whatever person wants to say stichos before chatzos, so here the poskim are not so happy about this. To say stichos, we mentioned before, dafka at a time when it's the midas hadin, so that's almost the antithesis of what you're trying to accomplish. So it's preferable not to say stichos before chatzos. Moshe has a tshuva where he says that the reality is that it's hard for people. That sometimes it's hard for people to get up early in the morning. Elderly people that actually come to stichos at 1 a.m. not come to stichos at 5 a.m. So if they don't say slichas at an earlier time at night, so they're not going to say slichas altogether. So Moshe writes, okay, so if you're stuck, well, he's brave, you're not going to say slichas anyway. So maybe it's better to say slichas at 10 o'clock at night. So that shul of Moshe was the source for, I remember when I was a kid, a lot of the shuls have slichas at 10 o'clock at night on the first night. The rest of the week is slichas, I don't know, no one said it, whatever it was, but that first one, so Shabbos slichas was at 10 o'clock because they were relying on Moshe, they felt people weren't going to come later. Other poskim say it's better to say it the next morning. They said if you say it in the morning, so a lot of people say it in the morning. So if you say it in the morning, that's even better than saying it the night before Shalai Bisman. So again, I know there are different shuls that have this practice, that they do make that accommodation for the early slichas people. You know, again, if a person wants to say slichas at a time, it's not really the optimal time to say slichas. Those who are able to should try to say it even after chatzos, should say it before davening, were probably more correct if they can't say it at the right time. So we'll say it after nights. But to say it at 10 o'clock at night is a little bit funny, even though I'm well aware of the fact that there are some shuls that do advocate it, because their concern is that people are just not going to come. So, okay, if a person's not going to come, not going to come. So that's a different judgment. But if you are going to come, so you should try to aim to say it at the more finished idea, the more correct time. Because we say slichos at the time that we do, so it opens up a whole series of shilas, which are not really slichos related shilas, they're more vilchus tefillah related shilas, but they've been set into motion because of the funny timing that we have in terms of saying slichos. So one of the issues that comes up is the issue of birchas haTorah. So if a person saying slichos at 1 o'clock in the morning, so then he doesn't have a birchas haTorah issue, assuming that he was up the whole time, he's sitting and learning the whole day. Then it's Birchas HaTorah still good for the morning. Taisim Brachas has a shayla. How come when it comes to, let's say, a bracha nesukha, if I make a leshi nesukha, and I eat the sukha, and then I leave and come back 3 hours later, I have to make a new leshi nesukha. How come a Birchas HaTorah, so I don't have to make a new Birchas HaTorah every time I eat the bismanim? So Taisim gives a few answers. One of the answers Taisim gives is that when it comes to learning, so a person's always holding and learning. Even when they go to work, they're thinking and learning. So some people are thinking about tzaisim in the middle of their job, and some people at least are thinking about, you know, about how do I have a mincha in the middle of a meeting, and how do I make a bracha without a yamka, and all of that. So everyone's always holding in different shilas. Everyone's always mahar in different Torah. So a person is never mesiach dasam learning that tzaisim. It's another answer. No, not that the person's mom, she's sitting and doing a business deal, he's not thinking about anything else. But lamaisi, he has in mind, he's going to come back. He's by sukkah, so you finished breakfast, you left the sukkah, you went to your amusement park. You know you're not coming back till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Whereas by learning, a person's always never really mesiach das from learning. So that's what we follow. You make a birchas haTorah in the morning, and it keeps you going for the duration of the day and into the night. Until your mom goes to sleep, the guy goes to sleep for the night, and he wakes up the next morning, and he has to make a new birchas haTorah. So he's still holding, but the last birchas haTorah, then he's okay, what if he went to sleep? So he went to sleep, now he wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so b'chor is b'chor to recite birchas haTorah. So the question is, can you recite the slichos before reciting birchas haTorah? What's the shaila? Shaila is, he's saying psukim, most of the slichos, many things in the slichos are psukim, he's saying yigyu minyas, he's saying the different psukim, so those psukim are Tanakh, so those psukim are divrei Torah. So how do you have a right to say divrei Torah before one is before one recites birchas haTorah? So the Rambam quotes two opinions from the Rishonim about this. One opinion, the Rambam writes, the Rachanami, Yitach, not allowed, you have to say birchas haTorah before you start the slichos. And then there are multiple to another opinion that says no, that you're allowed to say slichas even without reciting birchas haTorah, because you're not learning the slichas, you're saying the slichas. So there's learning Torah and there's davening. Sometimes there's a little bit of a mix between the two. Some people when they daven up the daf, and some people learn the davening. So you're supposed to learn when you learn. You're supposed to daven when you daven. So there are more rights that some Rishonim say that when you're just saying psukim just derech tefillah, so that wouldn't require a bechseter. That shayla that the Rambam calls in Rishani is really a suffix in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef talks about, the Rishani says that if you want to not say regular bechseter, you want to rely on Ava Rabba. So the Mercy of the Brach is also in the Bible. You can rely on Ava Rabba, and that counts as Birch Satara. So the Rishami adds on a line that the Bible doesn't have. The Rishami says, "Hu deshan al asar." The only time Ava Rabba can count is if you learn right away. Right after you finished Ava Rabba, then you have to learn. So the Bible doesn't say that. There's a whole discussion. So the Beis Yosef asks the question on the Rishami, and he says, "What do you mean, Hu deshan al asar? What do you mean you learn right away? Of course you learn right away. You said Kriya Shema right away. What do you mean, Hokam Eskinan? You learn right away." Got out with the Kriya Shema. So the Beis Yosef quotes one possible. The answer to that question is that the Kriya Shema doesn't really count. Because you're not learning Kriya Shema. You're saying Kriya Shema, but Torah is mitzvah. That's not learning Kriya Shema. If you open up a Parshas Vaschana and Imam said for Shema, that's called learning Parshas Kriya Shema. If you say Kriya Shema as psukim to fulfill the mitzvah, that's not really learning. So that's a shot. That's a general question about when I read psukim, not in the context of learning Torah, does that also qualify as learning Torah? That's one of the answers that the Haredim give to the Kash and the Yemeseth is Megillah. The Gemara says, Mavatlin, Tamatargui, Kriyas and Megillah. You have to close your Gemara, stop learning Torah, and go read the Megillah. So the Haredim asks, what do you mean, close your Gemara and read the Megillah? That's also Torah. If I would open up Megillah, say, Asked me by Yiv Mechash Verash, I would also get Tzchar for Libra Torah. So why is it called Mavatlin, Tamatargui? So some Haredim say, because you're not learning the Megillah, you're listening to Kriyas and Megillah. That's not called learning Torah, that's called doing a mitzvah. Other Rechmanim is a very powerful one. People get nervous from this terrace. The Rechmanim say that if you have the opportunity to sit and learn a concise by Ian Rav, and you decide I'm going to put my feet up and read Megillah Sester and read a nice little Perush in the article on the bottom, that's called Bittul Torah. Since Bittul Torah means that you're not being Lomei Torah with the most Yagia that you could. So if right now you're in the middle of Azaz, Sugya Chamur, and thinking through Rav Chaim, and I say, okay, now it's time for me, you know, to hear the story about the Haman and Bang a little bit, even though I'm saying to Torah, but that's called a Bittul Torah. That's a very frightening shot. We'll do this for another time, another place. So getting back to that story, so the Rambam quotes two minhagim about this. So usually I tell people, a lot of people ask me in a shot, I say, what do you have to lose? Save me, that time. It's a shot of their eyes. Save me, it's no loss. So, but the yekas, they don't. I remember when I was the Rav in the Paramus, so they would always start stichas in the morning before brachas, and then they would say brachas Torah out loud. So that's how I knew that they were doing that. So they were following that practice of dafka saying brachas Torah afterwards. So they followed that other opinion in the Rav. But again, those who don't have that practice, it would seem that the more correct view is that it's easy to just do it. Say brachas Torah. It costs you 30 seconds extra in the morning. Sometimes you can lose the first you can read some of that one. So you got to come to sleep earlier. But whatever. So it's probably a good idea to do that. There are other shadows that come up in the context of slichas. That's the issue in terms of tzitzis. So depending on what time the person is saying slichas. So if the person is saying slichas ready after the zman, it's ready after mishiyakir, so they're good. You can put in a talit. The chazan, the slichas. So the minig is that he puts on a talis. We always try to have the chazan, especially during slichas, it would be inappropriate for the chazan not to wear talis. The whole source of a chazan wearing talis is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Nisatev Kadosh Baruch Hu Kishulech Tzibur. Gemara uses the phrase that when Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu Yigil Midas, so as he was Nisatev Kishulech Tzibur. So there's a shadow, what does Nisatev mean? In Luchos Tzitzis, there's a machlokes Rishonim, what does the word Ituf actually mean? We say in the bracha, Nisatev Patzitzis. Some of the Rishonim say that the word Ituf means to cover your head. It means if you're just wearing a garment over your shoulders, that's not called Derech Ituf. So some Rishonim say that since we recite the bracha, Nisatev Patzitzis, so one doesn't really fulfill the mitzvah Tzitzis unless one is doing a Derech Atifa. So the fact that we wear Talis Katan, according to some Rishonim, that's not a mitzvah, it's a bracha Matal. That's why some quote from the Maharil, that when you put on your tzitzis in the morning, so you should do a tifa. The same way when we put in a talis gadol, so we put a talis over our heads and we wrap it around. Why do we do that? Because we want to make sure that according to some Rishonim, we fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis only when it's derech hatifa. So we want to make sure at least for 2 seconds a day, we're doing a derech hatifa. So some Pelskim quote that when you put in your talis cotton, you should do the same thing. You should take your talis cotton, wrap it around your head, swing it around, do something. So some people follow that, and many people don't follow that. But there's one opinion that says that the word l'satif means mamash to cover over. over your head. And other Rishonim say, no, l'satik just means to cover, to be wrapped around with. So if Hilchos Tzitzis, you can say l'satik b'tzitzis, even if you're not mamish putting it over your head. So again, we have a minute, we split a little bit. We're not mocked with the kippah talis over our head the whole day. We do wear talis katan, so we assume that mikra did, that's called tzitzis, that's sufficient for the mitzvah of tzitzis. The poskim say, it says, Mechumash, we just rest, that shet chasem bot. It doesn't say shet atif, but it's shet chasem bot. The chasem means, loshen kisi, means to be covered. So the fact that Chazal instituted the bracha is atif, that doesn't indicate that the mitzvah is not derech kisui. So our minig is that we wear talis katans, and our minig is that we wear a talis gal most of the time davening, but not even derech atif. We assume that it really are yitzvah. We assume that the word itof just means a covering, but there was one opinion we showed, it says, l'satif is a loshen dafa kisi arosh. When the Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is atif kishlech tzibur, so we have a machlokes. So what does that mean? So some say that means that shlech tzibur has to be derech atifa. The guy cannot get up to the amud to daven without being covered, without covering his head. So he's got to put his talis over his head. Some say you put a hat on, you have some kind of an atifa, some kind of a special covering over your head. That's the tzur of a shlech tzibur. That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu heard of Moshe Benu, this atif kishlech tzibur. And others say no. Others say that a chazan doesn't have to be mamish derech hatifa over his head. As long as the chazan is covered, he's dressed in the chumadik away. He's covered something extra, something special on his body. That's also considered to be sufficient. So different communities have different practices about whether they insist that the chazan does derech hatifa. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Chos Tvila that the Mishnah Berurah's practice was the way most of us have, not the Minhag Eretz Yisrael, the way most Ashkenaz communities have in America, most, not all, most have, that the Chazan doesn't wear a talis or ma'ariv. But they really do, right? Okay. So it's the Minhag Eretz Yisrael, that the Chazan wears a talis. No, is that the Minhag? Right, from Ma'ariv also. So the Minhag in America, most of many, many shuls, that the Chazan doesn't wear a talis. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that if the Chazan doesn't have a jacket to wear, he should wear a talis. Just to go up to the Yom, just to daven without a thing. No jacket, no talis, no garnish. So the Mishnah Berurah says he felt that's considered to be a lack of the proper covenant for the tefillah. So he should do a little bit of ratifa, a little bit of psalmashu. So if he has a jacket matah, if he has a talis, so that would be...
Naturally, sheepish places don't wear a talis. If they wear a hand jacket, they don't wear a talis.
Well, from Ma'ariv. Somebody told me once, and maybe not Gadol, I don't want to record it, I was going to hear it on this, yeah, the name of one of the Rashidis in America, that to be Malamit Chos in many communities, that the Chazan gets up to daven for the Yamid, but not wearing a jacket, walking on the Shosi Shur, and he gets up down for the Yamid. So he said that the Limit Chos was that all these things are all covered at Tzibur. Covered tzibur is defined in these areas, not all areas, but in some areas, what the tzibur considered to be mechubad. So, b'med ramun, the Mishnah Berurah said it was inappropriate for the chazan to get up without a talis, without a jacket, without something. That's the whole tzibur is dressed appropriately. If everyone's dressed like they're supposed to in davening, everyone's wearing a jacket, and then the one guy gets up with a short sleeve with his, and gavim for the yamid. That's a pachim, that's a slap in the face to the tzibur. That's a lack of covered tzibur. But he said, if you look around, the whole team was dressed that way. So he's a perfect representative of the team. He's exactly what the team were ordered. So if nobody's dressed right for davening, so he can also dress not appropriate for davening. That was a limud chos of, I don't want to publicize who said that. That was a limud chos. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So when the chazan for slichos should be putting on a talis, the lamshes out for good purpose, so he wanted to put on a talis. So he puts on a talis. The lamshes should be recited bracha on a talis. So now, the problem is it's before this man. If it's before Nishiyakir, so you're not really supposed to recite a bracha on a talis. If it's before Alos, then for sure you should recite a bracha. Between Alos and Nishiyakir is Machlekes and Mishonim. We try not to recite a bracha at that point. Why don't we recite a bracha at that point? In deference to the Shiva Saramim, Machlekes the Ramim Darash, about if a person has a baguette that's designated for daytime use, like a talis is usually worn in daytime. If a person decides to put a talis on in the nighttime, so according to the Rosh, make a bracha, make a regular bracha, it's not a mitzvah, it's chayim in a Torah, because it's not a ksus laila, it's a ksus yom. According to the Rosh, ksus yom balayla, it's chayim in tzitzis. And the Rambam sheet is, no, if it's one at night, doesn't matter what it is, night is not as matter of tzitzis. So the Ramah quotes in the tzitzis that we treat this as a sfeik at the dina, and therefore we won't make a bracha on our talis or on our tzitzis, if it's a night, even though it's a ksus yom. That's why the Ramah quotes the minig in the tzitzis he quotes. You have to be careful when you come to Shulchan Kol Nidre to make sure to put your talis on before Shkia. Some people come running in, they miss the Hefta Kol Nidre, they come running in, the first thing they do is, as soon as Yom Kippur starts, they make a bracha levatala. They start off by making a bracha levatala, which according to Hefta Rishonim is a bracha levatala. The Magen Avraham is Malam Mitzchos some people, but Rambam writes that you could still make a bracha because it's ben hashmashos. It's still recent or so, even though it's a suffolk, yom suffolk laila, but since this is not a function of laila v'yom, it's a function of can you see? As long as you can see, then it's good. So it's on that Magen Avram, now Yom Kippur. Magen Avram is Malam Mitzchus, and those people who come to Shul late in Yom Kippur will still make a bracha. On that Magen Avram, some Sefer writes that the son of Shulchan Aruch, he writes that he thinks according to that Magen Avram, if there are lights on in the room, even though it's 11 o'clock at night, you can also make a bracha. Because the Magen Avram just said it's not a din of Yom Balayla, it's a din of Ria. So the lights are on, you can make a bracha. That's what he writes. I'm not saying he meant it, Mamash Lamaisa Lamaisa. So that would change the whole world, that would change everything for us. So we don't, that's not a minute. Yeah, a minute, we don't do that. So getting back to the story, so the Chazan's about to put the talis on, and it's before Lo, so maybe after Lo, so he wants to make a bracha, so he really shouldn't have said a bracha in his tzitzis. So it's like any other person who puts on tzitzis early in the morning before this man, so you make a bracha, and then when the time comes later, they're only... I'm sorry, but without a bracha.
You better not to do
ether from that. Oh, so he can put the talis on, and then he plays around the tzitzis. If he wants to avoid the whole shayla, so he should borrow somebody else's talis. So the person borrows somebody's talis. So talis she'ula is not obligated in tzitzis altogether, unless it's 30 days have passed, and the rabbanan tzchai, because it looks like it's yours. But if he's just borrowing somebody else's talis, then it would be okay. So that's a shayla. What if no one's around to buy that he wants to take a shul talis? So is a shul talis considered to be a borrowed talis? That's part of yesterday's shiur. So we assume that a shul talis is a talis of shufin. It belongs to you, unless you don't pay membership in the shul. So that's an incentive not to pay your dues. If you don't pay your dues, then you can down for the government as the chazan. But if you own a share of the talis in the shul, so then what do you mean you haven't? Some people say, take the shul talis, I mean, why not to be zoich in the shul talis? You mean never mind if it's yours? It's yours anyway. So that gets a little bit tricky. So I'm not sure, if I could throw back to yesterday, Shia, I'm not sure what my relationship is with the shul property. So I'm not sure what the check with the Bible say. Is the rabbi a member of the shul or not? So technically I'm on the membership list. But I think the rabbi doesn't pay dues. I think that's like the most kaimana, that's the meaning that the rabbi doesn't pay dues. So is pshat that I become a full fledged member with all the leading mamonas involved? Well, I don't think I get a vote. Do I get a vote at membership meetings? No, I never voted at the membership meeting. I never came to membership. I never voted. I never exercised my rights as a member. So. I don't know. I'm not sure. You have to check with the shul lawyers to find out what you need. Chafs and afkamina. It's a big afkamina for me. It's an afkamina every Purim night. I have the same shot every Purim night. I said every Purim night I'm the Balkari here, and I want to put on a talis because we have a mini with the Balkari. Not everyone has that mini, but we have a mini that the Balkari for the Megillah puts on a talis. So I always don't want to put on my own talis, so I always try not to take one of the shul's talises. So I take the shul's. There was 1 year. Anyone remembers? 1 year Daniel was there, I couldn't find his talis, so I put on Steve Berg's talis. And Steve Berg's talis has trellis on it. So that was the picture. I was able to defend myself because it was fur. It was obvious it was fur. It was the only time I didn't put me wearing it. Yeah, anyway, I'm sorry. So what was this question?
Anything in the shul, let's say Svarim, you're not allowed to take it home, so you're allowed to use it, but anybody's allowed to use it. Why, if you're a member?
Right. So the question is, it's a doctristic point. So some folks can say, and Hilchos Tzitzis, they talk about this, the folks can say that even if you're not a paying member of a shul, it's understood that when the shul buys a talis, they're buying it on behalf of all the people who are going to come and visit the shul, even if you're not literally a paying member. But that it could be kavanah may work for. I don't want to be zeichel this talis. If it's mamish mine, I can't say I don't want to be zeichel, and I have to form maybe mafkir. I'm not sure. The problem with the shul talis is that a lot of them are my old talises. Some of the ones that I gave over the years. So unless I was given to the shul, and I have to figure out to tweak the dinim mamonis of the shul for this one. There is a minute.
So is it better not to do ether for a case like that?
No. I would borrow somebody's talis. You can borrow somebody's talis, Mata. If not, you put other talis without a frock when it comes to his mind. You make the
just want to do ether.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. The problem is if you're saying slichas at 1 in the morning, then you're not going to keep the talis on for the rest of the night. So then it becomes more problematic. If you're saying slichas at 5 o'clock, you can keep it on anyway, so then you'll deal with it later.
I'm talking about like before you make a brach, the normally.
Oh, that could be then. Yeah, there's no goal. If you're not making brach anyway, so then no purpose to do that. There's a minig that Chazan, who's going to down for the Yom for Rosh Hashanah, so many places, so he's the one who leads the Slichos. So where did that come from? What does that mean? Some want to say that minute came to solve a halakhic problem of paying the Chazanim. There's a big machlekes in Rishonim about how you're allowed to pay Chazan for Shani Yom Kippur. So it's Chai Shabbos, Chai Yontif, you're not allowed to get paid for work on Shabbos and Yontif. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Chai Shabbos quotes, and the Rishonim quotes two opinions about this, but there are some who say that you're not allowed to pay Chazan, because Chai Shabbos is not allowed to pay the Chazan. And others said, no, you're allowed to pay the Chazan because it's Chai Mitzvah. It's machlekes in Rishonim in the Sugyas in Chai Shabbos, whether Mokha Mitzvah is Chai Shabbos, what's the Shaila? So it depends what the nature of Chai Shabbos is all about. If the Isra getting paid for Shabbos, it's almost like a business kind of discussion. It's like Dabra Dover. It's like the same way you're not allowed to talk about business, you're not talk about money, you talk about the business deals on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to get paid for your work on Shabbos. I'm not doing malacha, I'm talking for the yomid. I'm not doing anything that's malacha. But any type of getting paid for work is like Mitzvah Tzachah B'Dabra Dover. If that's the Isser of getting paid for Shabbos work, just so chetzchah v'dabr dover, so the Gemara says, Shabbos v'dabr dover, so chetzchah, also chetzchah shemayim v'dorim, chafetzecha asurim, the shalach of honest things that are tzorcha mitzvah are permissible. So if the whole list of Shabbos is just al zdabr dover, so chetzchah, it should be mutter v'mukam mitzvah. That's what some Rishonim say. Other Rishonim say, no, it's more than that. It's almost like buying and selling. It's a little bit more chomer. I mean, it's the same way I'm not allowed to sell you an item, even if it's a bacha mitzvah. I'm not allowed to sell you a lulav. Lulav is a matan, that's not really a business. But I can't sell you a lulav on soap, because I can't sell you matzah and pesach, so I can't sell you my services. So if I'm working for you and you're paying me, so that's worse than just mitzvah. So that would be us, even a bacha mitzvah. So Shulchan Aruch quotes two different opinions on that. So those who don't want to be making to have the Chazanim take money, so the Gemara says in the fourth paragraph of Metzia that there's a way to circumvent Chai Shabbos, that's derech havlah. If you get paid for a whole job, let's say you have a waiter, so a waiter comes, and part of his job is to set up on Friday and to clean up on Shabbos, even though he's getting paid for some of the work on Shabbos, so it's all one big lump sum, that's permissible, that's called derech Shabbos, derech havlah is okay. That's what Rabbanim rely on, that they don't just get paid for Shabbos, they work during the week also, they give shiurim during the week, which is another question, they get paid for shiurim, they get to Shabbos during the week, it's also a shout. You have to give eitzes during the week. Okay. There are different things that the rabbi has to do that are not just getting paid for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, getting paid for Shabbos and Yontif. So that's okay. That's called derech havlah. So when you have a chazan who comes and all he does is daven Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so where's the havlah? So some say that's where the minute came from. That he gives his debut on Matzoi Shabbos, the slichas. So that way, at least he gets paid for the whole package deal. So he's getting a little bit derech havlah. There are different minhagim about slichas and pasta slichas that some people don't like to say. So there's one passage in the slichas about machnis and rachim and those kinds of things. So there are many, many different approaches to that. There are some who don't like to say it altogether. There are some who say modified versions of it. Some defend saying it. They have whatever person's minhagim is. So here we generally leave out those kinds of. Officially, I'm not sure what that's people are doing, but we leave out some of those things, or in the Yom Kippur davening, some of those things also reappear, so we see a little bit modified versions of them. It's all chashash, and the Rambam writes that one of Eikar Emunah is that you're not allowed to ask a malach, you're not allowed to daven to a malach. We believe by Munah Shalom, you only daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So some of those piyutim and slichos almost give off that impression that you're almost like you're talking to the malachim. So we don't want to get involved in those kinds of things. So that's what many people are very weary about, some of those things. And those who say those regular tefillahs, so they explain it. They're not really down to the malachim, they're really down to the Rebbeinu Shalom, the malachim, whatever they're doing with the tefillahs, they're bringing the tefillahs, they're doing the tefillahs only to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So whether you do say them or don't say them, you should have in mind, you're not talking to the malachim, you're speaking to the Rebbeinu Shalom, or the Rebbeinu Shalom answer that
tefillahs. I saw a suggestion yesterday, or brought down to halacha on something or other, but that you don't, you, and those who say it, which I don't know, those who say it, but you shouldn't say if you're not with the minyan. What's the svara to say that? Well, what would be the distinction by talking to halacha in a minyan versus if you're by yourself, then you don't say it?
You talk about the halacha play role in terms of Aramaic. That's the story. But I don't know what's up with this. I don't know.
Malach only daven in the minyan. I'm saying, Malach is sheet of atzlichos.
I'm saying. All right, good. I want you to daven. So maybe it's part of the stuff. Yeah. Who knows?